So, my name is Jeff, and I'm an addict alcoholic.
Hey, Jeff.
Kind of a funny story. I go to this meeting with on a first date, and I'm with this girl. And she takes me to The Fault in the Stars or some shit like that, right? Terrible movie. Just cry through the whole thing, right? So I'm up there with her in these seats. And and all through it, I'm shaking like I was just a minute ago. And she finally, in about three-quarters of the way through it, she smacks me. And she goes, "Get the hell out of here. I can't believe you're laughing at this movie." And I was crying. Somebody talked about this yesterday, and I laughed at them. They talked about the meeting they have in the shower. Where are you? Yeah. And I thought, or the way they practice their speech in the shower, right? And I just laughed because I'd never heard that before. So this morning, of course, I'm in the shower, and I'm thinking about this shit. And I'm thinking about a friend. Who's sitting in my house, 5 feet away. And I said to the guy, "Well, did you get the work done?" "No." By this point, I've already showed him how to do the work. He's already been in the back room of the house. It was either the back room or the basement, by the way. And he's been through part of these steps before. But did you get the work done? "No, I didn't get the work done," right? Why not? I didn't fucking do it, you know? So he leaves. And the next time he's supposed to show up at my house, he calls. "I'm not going to be there today. I have something going on." And the next day he killed himself. This is our disease. It fucking kills us. This is why I open the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I go through this. When I first got here, I was fortunate. I've been around for a while. My sobriety date is February 15th in 1989. I didn't do anything to deserve that applause. I came here and I sat in these rooms, right? And I was fortunate at that time because Cocaine Anonymous was pretty young, and I'm a Cocaine Anonymous baby, okay? I came here, I stayed here. I stayed here. And there's not a lot of people that have done it. There's several in this room, and God, I love them, you know? And but a lot of them, they had to go somewhere else for this message. You know, I was fortunate because I had somebody that was here that was being taken through these steps, right? And they were taken through the steps by a guy in AA, okay? And I was fortunate of that because then he was, I mean, he's only a couple months more sober than I was, but he was there to take me through just like he was taken through. And as many times as he screwed up, I'm so grateful that he took me through these steps. And he showed me what he knew. And I'm also grateful that he screwed up so many times because he would tell me shit about this book. And I would say, that does not sound right. Where did you find that? And of course, he had no answer. And he would go, well, go look through the book. And so I would, and I'd be paging through this book, you know. And so my first year was done for me to argue and fight with this guy. I had to find where he was wrong in this book. And I would scour the book looking for these certain words. And I'd find them and I'd read the whole paragraph before and after so that I can go, see, you were wrong. Because that's who I am. That's who I was when I got here. Right? And I had that sponsor, though, that knew about these steps and that could take me through them. And he took me through them, and yeah. This has been a great convention. Christian, thank you. Wonderful way to start it off. Taking us through the steps. That's normally what I do. I'll sit up here and I'll tell you all about these steps. That's what I do, right? Christian did it for me this weekend. I'm so grateful. The stories that I heard, the workshops were wonderful. Oh my God, I loved them. There was so much in them, you know, about the solution. So much about the solution, you know. And then the speakers who spoke, you know, they were great. They told their stories. I'm not going to tell my story, not much of it anyway. Okay, I'm not going to be that person that keeps you amused with my story. I'm just not going to do it. Maybe a little. Who knows? I have no freaking clue what's coming out of my mouth right now. Certainly, this isn't the way that I planned on starting. I brought notes with me, and none of them... Yeah, I don't usually use notes either. Thank you for everyone who spoke this weekend. And for your experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to probably talk to you more about what happened. I have 29 years of the spiritual solution, right? And that's what this is. This is the morning spiritual program. And when they first told me this, I kind of laughed. Because I'm not exactly a big spiritual guy, at least not the way most people look at spirituality, you know. But I went through these steps, right? And as a result of these steps, I found a spiritual path, which is what I believe this is all about. You know, they have you work these steps, right? And they chopped it up into 12 different parts so that we can learn them. We can understand them, right? And I'm saying right a lot. They chop it up into 12 different parts so that we can understand them. But the reality is, it's just one big idea. That's all it is. Right? They give you this idea that, well, first of all, they tell you what's wrong, you know? And understanding what's wrong. The step it says that I'm powerless and I'm unmanageable. What it doesn't say is that it's the obsession of the mind, the allergy of the body that drive me to the point of powerlessness and unmanageability. Right? And that's really what this is all about. It's about the obsession of the mind, the allergy of the body, and how do we stop the obsession of mind? Because the allergy body is never going away. Never, ever. Once we have it, that's it. We're screwed. It's there for life. Once we accept that, that's great, you know? So we have to do something about the obsession of the mind. And that's what the rest of these steps do. They help us get rid of that obsession of the mind. And that's what I have to do when I'm out there and I'm trying to teach somebody what this program is about. Is I have to be able to teach them to stop that obsession. Because if you stop the obsession, right, then what happens is you're sane enough not to take the first one. The allergy of the body never kicks in. Makes sense, right? Right? Yeah. All right, thank you. Participation, baby. Let's go. I feel better. So they give us these steps to do this with, you know? And they trick you when you come in here. And they tell you that, you know, your policy are manageable over these drugs and this alcohol and all the rest of this stuff. It's a trick, man. That's all it is. Because the reality is, you get to the point of step three. Okay, I'm here. All right, I understand. I'm powerless over these drugs. And then they explain to you about the obsession mind, the allergy. But, wow, that makes a lot of sense, right? And then you think that you're obsessed only over drugs and alcohol. And then they take you to the third step. And they tell you that your real problem is, wow. Yes. Selfishness, self-centeredness. And it's driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking, the words that they use over and over again in this book. Fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking. I personally believe, and I got to tell you right now, I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. This is the way that I understand the 12 steps, okay? To the best of my ability, and the reason why I get to be able to even say anything about it is because I've been reading this book and being participated in a big book study in my home for the past 17 years, and I keep having people come through this big book study, and they continue to teach me, okay? And that's why I know anything about this at all, and I probably know very little, because every time I open up this book and we go through it and I have somebody new who's in that group with me, they point something new out to me, and I go, oh, my God, look at that. That's freaking wonderful. That's wonderful. Look at that. I learned something new, and I love when I learn something new about this program, right? I learned something new the other day in one of these meetings. I can't tell you what the heck it was. I have a note somewhere. And it's probably a note in my big book, which helps me a lot. I have no memory. I'm a great sponsor, right? Because these guys come and they tell me all of their fifth step stuff, right? And then they leave. And then next week they tell me, oh, yeah, my brother did this. And I said, you have a brother? Wow, I just told you about that. Where was I? I have no memory. Thank you. Facebook this morning, I opened up Facebook and I seen this thing. It said, farts are just ghosts of things we eat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now I'd be wondering, is he laughing or is he crying, right? Step three, thank you. The trick. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking. We step on the toes of others and they retaliate. And they bring that up again later in the steps too. So we have to get rid of this obsession. Right? And the other thing I want to talk about step three is the prayer. Right? Step three prayer. I love the step three prayer. Right? And the idea that this is a decision for life. That's the other thing I want to talk about. Step three is a decision for life. And most people don't think that. But if you read it carefully and you read the big book carefully, you'll see how it is a decision for life. But more importantly, the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as they will is the third step. relieving the bondage of self so I may better do thy will, right? Steps 4 through 11. Take away my difficulties so that victory over them may bear witness to those that love and thy power, the way in hell. Thank you. May I do thy will always. Step 12. Kind of cool, right? Took a while for us to find that in the book. Hey, look at this. This is just like step 3. Wow, look at this. This is just like step 4 through 11. Look at this. This is just like step 12. It's really cool when we discover this stuff as we go through this book. Unfortunately, I didn't have somebody that knew the book well enough to be able to take me through. Most of these people that took me through the program, right, when I would say, why does this happen? They would say, doesn't freaking matter, just do it, it'll work. I do not like that. What do you mean it doesn't matter, just do it, it'll work, you know? That's why I open the book, that's why I go back and I read the book, because I want to know why it works. I want to understand this. I want to understand why this is going to work for others, because I want to save their lives. People come up and they sit in front of these rooms and they say, I want to be able to touch one of you that's out there. I say, screw that. I want to stand up here. I want all of you to be able to understand something new. Because that's how it should be. We don't want to touch one person. We want to touch them all, man.
Yes.
Screw that. Because I want to save lives. Because I don't want that guy that's going to sit in the chair 10 fucking feet from me and die the next week. I don't want that. It's going to happen. I've had it happen more than once for me, unfortunately. But I've also had a few successes. Fortunately, there's a few sitting in this room. And I'm very happy about that. And these are guys that I love. You know, I used to walk up to my guys and I used to tell them right off, I am never, ever going to be your friend, right? Because my sponsor told me that. I'm never, ever going to be your friend. We are never going to be friends. We are never going to talk like friends. We're never going to act like friends. You will just never be my friend, right? And I used to say that to people, and I was lying right out of the gate, because there's no freaking way that I can spend this time with these people and not be their friend, right? I can't. I can't do it. I'd learn to love them. I'd learn to love them. So when they go out and they die, it hurts. You know, I have the reward of being able to sit across the table from somebody who is completely lost, who's dark, just dark, man. And I'm working with them, and I'm taking them, and I'm saying, okay, go into the back room and do this, and then come back, and then go. And that's what I do, man. I do this quick. Okay, I went to Minnesota, and I sat in this AA convention, and I'm listening to these old timers, and they're talking about what they used to do. And these are guys that were around when Bill is around, right? And they're telling me that they used to go into the hospital rooms, and if the guy could get out of bed, they got him down on his knees and they went through his 6 steps, because that's all there was, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, why do we take so long taking people through the steps? Why do we let them suffer? Why do we torture them like we do? Because that's what I used to know. You know? My sponsor actually didn't do that with me. He took me through them right away. You know? I stayed sober. But after that, I kept listening to all these people around the rooms that said differently. So I'll go to my Friday night meeting, and there'll be somebody there that's standing outside, and you can see them, man. They're just coming down. Fuck yeah, I want that guy. You know, especially if he's a relapser, then I really want that guy. You know? And then I say to him, how you doing? My name's Jeff. And I go right after him. I just don't freaking care. I go after him. And I ask him, you got a sponsor? No, you have one now. Here's my phone. What are you doing tonight? I mean, I used to take him home on a Friday night, and I'd bring him into my house. I'd put a few dollars on my kitchen table. I'd say, if there's some point in the night that you feel you have to leave, here's some money, go. Right? And then I would take him, and I have a way of, and I'd talk to him. I'd talk to him about the first step and the idea of obsession, mind, the allergy of body. See, I know from experience that if I start to talk to somebody about obsession and mind, they'll understand it. They do. If you're an addict, they understand obsession right away. And even better, if I talk to them about obsession over fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking, boom, they relate. Almost, yeah, you know, that's what they are. Yeah, they understand that. Well, that's cool, right? They might not know anything about the allergy body, not right now, but they sure know that they obsess over these things, right? And if you talk to them about the allergy body as well, you know, if you have just one, can you stop? No. Usually if they make it to the rooms, they know that. You know, there's not a lot of people that don't, right? Yeah, I understand that. Cool. All right, you're already doing really well, man. You're already doing really well, you know. And then it's on to this higher power thing, which is always a stumbling block. It was certainly a stumbling block for me, right? Yeah. I mean, when I got here and my sponsor talked about a higher power, we got into arguments. We got into such big arguments that they were ready to kick us out of restaurants, right? I mean, seriously, they'd just, everybody be looking at us like, get out of here. We don't want anything to, you know, we're there at a group of people from Cocaine Anonymous. And these other people are just moving tables away from us. But this guy understood that I needed to have some kind of higher power. He understood it. And he would just drill that into me over and over again. And I would just keep going to the meetings and puking all over these people that were at the meetings and feel better afterwards and leave. Or I'd call them up and I'd puke all over them over the phone and then I'd hang up. I know they felt worse when I was done, but I felt better, you know. Selfishness, self-centeredness, right? Driven by hundred forms. So here I am. It's nighttime. Meetings are done. I'm in my house. The obsession starts, right? And it's obsession over some stupid shit, you know, fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking. But it's rolling, and it's fast. And I know the next thing that's going to happen is I'm going to go use, right? Because that's what happens. And so I start making my phone calls down the list. And back then, there was no cell phones. There was no caller IDs. People just were not answering the phone. You know, they weren't home. They weren't home. And or they were sleeping and they just turned their phone off. But either way, nobody answered their phone. And I'm going through phone list after phone list looking for somebody to puke on. And there's nobody there. And finally, I had to call my sponsor. And my sponsor picked up the phone, and I probably got out 2 seconds, and he said, go talk to God, and he hung up. Now, I was pretty mad. You know, this guy, he's telling me to go use. That's what I had in my head. He's telling me to go use. So I was angry, which I was all the time back then, angry. So I remembered what he said. He said, no matter what, all that you have to do is ask for this help, right? So being dramatic and angry, who I was, right? I went out, pushed open my back door, looked up. I can't tell you if there was stars or clouds or whatever. I just dramatically wanted to look up at the sky, and I said, I need help. And I slammed the door behind me, and I walked back in, right? And within a matter of minutes, the obsession had subsided. Wow, that that's a coincidence, right? There's no freaking way that that guy's right, that this thing that I don't believe in, this thing that's invisible, this thing that cannot possibly be there, this thing that he's been talking to me about for however long it's been, there's no way that this could help me. And yet there I was, and the obsession was gone. I'm going to try that again. And I did. I tried it again, and it worked. And I tried it again, and it worked. And then I still had this really hard time grasping this concept of God, you know. There's no way. And part of that was because of how I was brought up, you know. And the other part of it was I never had to experience it in my life. And the other part of it was that I grew up with this intense fear all of my life, this intense rolling mind all of my life. So I never even tried to reach out for it, right? But then I started to, and it started to work. And then I sat down with my sponsor, and he started to manipulate me a little bit. Oh, I have an open door. I'm going to take advantage of that, which is what I like to do with newcomers, too. I'll manipulate it a little bit, and I'll tell him, well, go and do this and do that. And he gave me this idea that I could grasp about my higher power, about this idea that I communicate with my higher power. It's such a high level of my thinking that I can't really understand it. You know, it's somewhere in my subconscious, way up there. And so I say to myself, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. You know, it's something to grasp onto. It kind of makes sense to me. And after that, my spiritual experience began. And since then, my spiritual experience just kept going, man. And I've been sober since then. You know? And it really is. It's all about finding this higher power, right? And I might not be any kind of a spiritual giant in this program. I don't believe for a minute that I am. But I've worked these steps, and these steps has helped me to get to this point where I clear this path between me and God, right? All of that garbage that's in this tower. Remember, I'm in this tower, and at the top of this tower is where I communicate with God, right? And all of these levels in between are full of garbage, and I got to get rid of that garbage. So I sit down, and I work the four step, you know? I already understand it's all about fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking, but I have to get to the fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking. I have to be able to understand that, right? Now, I'm going to whip through this next part because I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on it because my friend back there already did it, right? But I'm going to tell you this, that I walk into this and I look at it and I say, who am I angry at? Why am I angry? What does it affect? How much time am I going to waste in this, right? What should I be doing instead? I look at the spiritual sickness of others, and I compare that to the spiritual sickness itself. Most of the times when I do that, I find out that I'm the one that created their spiritual sickness. Almost every time I created their spiritual sickness, right? And then I look at the idea of, okay, God, grant me this pity, patience, tolerance, I cheerfully grant a sick friend. Thank you. These are my guys, man. They know this shit. I like it. Because they get to teach others. And we get to help people understand this program that helps save lives, that gets them to God. You know? And how can I be helpful? How can I be helpful? So if you do it according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? You're writing your A step. You're writing your A step and your four step. Kind of cool, right? Most of you probably didn't know that because you do columns. Right? And you forget all the rest of this stuff. But all the rest of this stuff, these are all important tools. These are tools, right? I practiced 4 through 9 over and over and over again over my past, right? I practiced them over and over and over again so that when I get to step 10, it becomes a way of thinking. This is what this is about. It's one big idea. Remember, one big idea. Practice 4 through 9 over and over and over so that I get to 10 and I think it. And I get to 11 and I check it. Right? Check myself in 11. And I clean the garbage out between me and God. Now I have a clear path between me and God. Then I have to keep it clear. 10 step. I keep it clear. Continue to work 4 through 9 in my daily, immediate daily basis. Right? Go back at night, rethink my day, look for, where was I selfish, self-seeking, frightened? What could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself or was I thinking of others? Getting out of that selfishness, self-centeredness. It's the root of our problem. It kills people. Resentment kills people, right? Got to get it out of there because it'll block me off from the sunlight of spirit. Here's the thing that's really freaking cool, right? When I got here, I used to lay down in my bed and I couldn't fall asleep because my mind raced. It was about stupid shit, you know. It would race about, what should I have said to him? Oh, next time I'm going to say this. Oh, this time I'm going to say this. I mean, that's what my mind did, right? Obsession took me for a ride. I'd be up there for hours. Oh, my God, what's going on? Let me fall asleep, please, you know. Today I close my eyes and I fall asleep because that path is clear between me and God. The path is clear, right? This is a spiritual program of action. If for some reason I screw up, which I do often, you can ask anybody in this room that knows me, especially, see? I try to immediately fix that. If I can't immediately fix it with an immediate amends, I go back, you know. If I can't get rid of that obsession, I go back and I do a 4 through 9. I've done, and this is just going to tell you how really sick I am, okay? I've done hundreds of these things, okay? I've done hundreds of 4 through 9, okay? Because I'm a sick person. An example of that. I'm at home. This is back when I was married. I was with my wife. I was with this child we're raising, right? We're having a great morning, right? And all of a sudden, my wife tells me, my daughter's coming over. This is a daughter that kind of created some chaos in her life. She's a using addict, right? And immediately, my mind goes into obsession mode, right? And I'm obsessing like crazy. And I knew I was obsessing, and I knew I couldn't live there. Because as soon as I go into obsession, I immediately feel terrible. I no longer want to feel this way. I want to be able to close my eyes and fall asleep at night and not hear anything in my head. So I immediately go into obsession. I immediately know I have to do something about it. I go sit down on my front porch in my rocking chair, and I start praying. And I start asking God to remove the obsession. Doesn't work. Get up. Walk into my backyard. Do the same thing. Sit down. Pray. Nothing's happening. Right? Wife comes out. It's going to be okay, Jeff. Blah, 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 blah. Same. Okay. I'm obsessing. I'm crazy. I'm 20-some years sober, and I'm freaking crazy. I go downstairs in my basement, pull out a piece of paper and a pen, write her name down, write why I'm angry at her, right? These are all tools that I have, right? Write down what it's affecting in my life. And then I start to write about how much time I'm wasting in, and I start to think about how I just ruined this day. I ruined my day. Oftentimes, my mind does this automatically, not with this case it didn't. So I had to write it out. Ruined my day. I think about the spiritual sickness of this person who's out there using, who I know could easily die at any minute from this disease that kills us. I think about how I was at that point, you know? And I get done with this, and I get finished with this. And I call a friend, and I talk to him about it, right? And I ask God to remove it. And she comes over, and it's gone. And never again did I ever feel anything against that woman. And I mean, there's been times after that, things that were worse. Brian comes over for the summer, and she shows up. I want that kid. It's my kid, right? He's there at my house. She's supposedly clean and sober at this minute, right? I have to put this into God's hands at that point. And she left with him for a day. And he was back the next day because she could only handle it for a day. But I had to put that in God's hands. It wasn't up to me. That was up to God. There's no way I can pull the law into that, because at that point, she really did look sober, you know. But I was able to do that because I went through that, because I used these steps, because I put them to work in my life. And this is what I do as often as I can, you know. And I try to remember that. And I try to go to sleep at night. I try to close my eyes and I fall asleep, you know. I work a spiritual program of action as often as I possibly can. I do this to the best of my ability. And I try to teach others to do this to the best of their ability. And I pray to God. That they do the work behind it to stay clean and sober. That I bet.
Thank you, Jeff.